Sunday night, not I mean Saturday night, and most of the day Sunday was yesterday was some of the worst pain I've ever had since being electrocuted. And as I was going through it, that same verse that I've talked about before came out. Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain, which that's the last thing I wanted to hear. And then the scripture came over and over again the rest of the night and yesterday and this morning. And it's a scripture we've studied often, but I'm not sure we understand it. So part of what I did, I got up, and I've never done a word study on this scripture. So it's Philippians 3.
Why don't we go there?
Let's go there. General Electric Power Company. I'm a little shaky, but I guess it's because I didn't eat very much. Start in verse 7.
3:7.
But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That has staggering implications. And it's universal. Whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ. And to dwell on that, the fullness of what that means, is you can only come to one place with it. And that's not teaching about the cross, but teaching the cross. And it goes on. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I can't tell you in enough words how I despise by my mind the way I live. My mind tells me that I'm crazy, that it's just this, there's something wrong with the, you know, it goes on and on as everybody's mind does when you, and so it doesn't stop. It always tries to get a foothold. And it's through the subtleties. It's not like, it's the subtleties. The end result is I always think I want to go live in a cave. That's the end result, because I certainly don't want anything in the world. But the thing that I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them, consider them, consider that everything I had and everything I want to have now is dung. Just consider that a minute. Just stop and make a list of things you want. And those are the areas where the cross has not done its work. No matter how good you think they are, the good ones are what you think is in that golden cup the whore has. The good is what you come out of when you go through the 49 gates of impurity. It's all a good thing. No one wants to hear this unless you've come to the end of yourself. And when you come to the end of yourself, you have there's always the place. And the place is that you're tempted by your mind in a thousand ways that you need something or you need to do something. And that list is endless. And it's all a lie because it's all things that are in that golden cup of the whore of Babylon. They're all the things that you came out of. That's why it's so fascinating to me that really Passover and Pentecost are one feast. It's tied together like none of the other feasts. With the counting of the Omer. Now in Bananas we went through in great detail what it means to count the Omer and the what are your 49 gates. And it covers everything. It even covers husbands and wives and children and your own life. It covers wanting to benefit them. It covers feelings of responsibility that you have, that you think you have. It covers every possible thing until only faith is left. That's what the 49 gates of impurity are. Do you realize they haven't been studied for generations? Even the Jewish writings on the in what I call recent, you know, from about 400, 300 or 400 A.D. till now, they've cut what their 49 gates of impurity are what all the world thinks is impure. And so they're coming out of gossip, and they're coming out of secret sex, and they're coming out of blah blah blah. It's all things that the world thinks is bad.
Is there a lot of writing about it?
No.
The Talmud?
No.
Any writing about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But very little in comparison to what it should be. But this, I mean, there's nothing, and if you see correctly in the scriptures, that isn't the preaching of the cross. It starts with the death of Abel. He saw the cross. It's with all the prophets. It's all the psalmists. They saw the cross. But they didn't see just the cross. They saw the resurrection. And all life is centered in that one being named Jesus Christ. Christ isn't his last name. It means Christ is it's HaMashiach. In Hebrew, no, it's not. It's HaMashiach in Greek, and it's, I think it's something like Barak. Yeah, it is Barak in Hebrew. I better check that because but anyway, he is the only anointed one. You're not anointed. It's Christ in you that's anointed. You don't get anointing because you feel goosebumps at a charismatic preacher. No. Christ is getting the anointing. It's manifest the anointing in you. But if you're in the picture, then all you feel is soul power from an audience in a rock, you know, listening to some rock concert or what used to happen when Frank Sinatra in my generation sang. Young girls fainted through their bras and panties on the stage. And we think that's the anointing. It's the counterfeit because it contains something about you in it. Makes you think, oh, I've got the anointing. No, you don't. It doesn't touch flesh. I just went off on a tangent. I'll go back to scripture. Anybody have any response to that little rant? That wasn't a rant, that was a rave. Shut up, Jeff.
I can't respond to the Frank Sinatra reference. But it did happen.
But he wishes he was around when it happened.
No, I was.
No, throwing a penny.
Oh, I was.
He was.
It also happened to the Fab Four and Elvis.
I know. It probably is happening now to some other idiot.
While you're talking, we digress.
Thinking about the 49 gates, and we have often discussed them, that those gates are about what we think are the good things, the virtues of man and of life, wisdom and joy and love and peace and knowledge and all the things that man would agree are great, and if he could only achieve knowledge, he would be good. But in the context of what you were just talking, they are good, but only in light of the cross. Your death makes them good. Not that they give you life, but they are the fruit of your death.
Right. But they will never come on flesh.
Right. That's the cross. And so to desire those things, you might say, oh, that's a good thing. But the cost is your life.
Right. All right, let's go on. Nope.
And just to finish my thought, it's so man seeks those things. But he goes around the cross.
Even religious men seek those things.
Exactly. Especially religious men.
And it's not. This doesn't just happen in Christianity. It happens in Hindu.
Well, Buddha.
Buddha.
Yeah.
Happens with Islam.
Anybody.
It's
yeah.
All of them. So let's go on. That I suffered the loss of all things, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And if you think about it, this law here, the word is nomos. And you therefore you think you have righteousness or being right when you learn to do something. You even learn to act right. You learn to act in a way that conforms to the culture in which you live. And you think, and all men think, that's good. No. The only good is your death. The cross is the worst offense. The cross is a greater offense than the Holocaust. It's a greater offense than what's happening with Baghdadi, the leader of the Islam sect. Cutting off of heads doesn't compare to the offense of the cross. There's absolutely nothing about the cross that is good for man.
I'm just thinking about the difference. If you get your head cut off, okay, you're dead. Your head's gone. Your body dies. But the cross, your body's alive. Your mind is alive.
So, but why?
And so the offense is, it's like we are living death.
there's no question. This is why the cross is the last thing that anybody understands normally, because there's so much strength left in the evil one, your mind, to consider various things as good, and you do it automatically. And that's part of the subtlety of the snake. The snake is your mind, just as it was Eve's mind and Adam's mind. The snake is a parable of your mind. Anyway. And be found in him, in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That whole rant there was all the things that you think are righteous really are come from the law, the way a thing works. And you know how to do a way a thing works, then you have your right. So therefore you have left something off the cross. May be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And it's only of God when you're dead. Because God doesn't care one iota about flesh and blood, except as an instrument of testing the seed of Christ which is in you. You are put to the test for the purposes of approving, not disapproving. And that test, though, includes everything that you do that's part of what you think has made you righteous, made something about you right. And I promise you, if you really have integrity, you will find out that everything that you think is right is of your mind, it's of the law. Now, we want to go help the homeless victims. That's fine. As long as you preach the cross to them. As long as you... I remember I was invited to preach at a black church in Fort Worth. And the week before, they had just lost... Their church was burned down. And... Harry was with me, and I told the audience, and the preacher was this woman that was a great singer of the gospel, and was in a black church, and she was all, it was great, it was an incredible service, it made me feel good, and they asked me to speak, and I said, how many of you here can thank God that your church burned? Was total silence. And everything I said after that was on deaf ears. And Harry was offended greatly by my telling them that. They thought the building was good. The building is not good. That's what synagogue means. Synagogue means a gathering of people. It has nothing to do with a building, just like ecclesia. Ecclesia is the small group of people, the Seder. That was what the synagogue was, the Seder. Except the Seder for the synagogue didn't include women. Now there's neither male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, because all is dead. Does that hear anybody? Okay. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, because I've been made conformable to his death. We're not where we're going to get yet, but This is a preparation for it. Read, what are you reading ahead?
I'm reading what you just read.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't care what you're reading ahead. I was just busting.
Yeah, it's okay. I was about to read ahead. Copy this time.
Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You can't, there's no resurrection without a death. There's no you anymore after the cross. You're gone. There's neither bond or free, male or female, young or old, black or white, Greek or Jew, American or Russian. There's only the bride or the whore. That's all that's left. There's no middle ground. And everything is religion. But that's why it's so easy to have two lives. That's why the Pharisee, the ones that separate, the world is still full of Pharisees. Because we separate that which is spiritual and that which is the natural. We hear that which is spiritual, but we think that the natural has to go on. That means it has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not, but that means you're still a child. The only thing you know is forgiveness of sin. You haven't yet seen the fullness of the baptism and the test of whether that baptism was really you dead and finally entering into the promise. That test, that's why you, the disciples, defined, are they that have continued with me in my temptation? And I promise you, your temptation has absolutely nothing to do with his temptation. That's why the abandonment of self must take place, so that life of Christ can go through the test, same test that he went through in this life. You are they that have continued. This is a definition of the disciple in the greatest specific terms. You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. Again, baptism assumes that your temptation was dead. You're on the cross. The evil one is trying daily, 1,000 times a day, to get you back off the cross. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now remember, perfect is the word that means fully tested. It's teleos. But I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I know, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, fully tested, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto you we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, this incredible next verse is incredible. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Hallelujah. You be thus minded, the same as Paul. It's an incredible. It sounds like the highest that it sounds like it's to be a follower. He's saying be a follower of me, and that's just sounds like an egomaniac talking. Except when you looked at his life. Nothing about his life was attractive to anyone. He was beaten. had 39 stripes three times. That means the 40th one was his death. Shipwrecked. Everybody left him three times, and he continued faithful. Because he had counted the loss of all things as he counted the loss, the things lost as dung. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to lose them. As long as you think something is valuable, that something has purpose, you're going to continue to think it's good. Health? Well, sure, my mind wants health. But my spirit rejoices in the suffering because my spirit is the spirit of Christ, no longer the spirit of me. I pray that each of you can say that. All right, we're still not there. Can we go over 10 minutes? Anybody got a meeting? Anyway.
I have a comment here. Because we talk so much about the mind, here it's really emphasized on 14 is the objective, pressing toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he talks about being minded.
Be thus minded, the emptiness of the mind of Christ.
That defines mind activity.
Empty.
With an objective.
No.
14 has an objective.
Hmm?
14 defines the objective.
Right. It's.
We're not in disagreement here.
Okay.
The mindedness is yes, I agree, emptiness. But it needs to be said that that's what minded is. And I know we talk about it a lot. I know that. But I'm emphasizing that's. I think he says
that's critical there. Because of the following verses. This will slay you. Slay all of us. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing again. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Again, follow those of faith. And this is the verse we're studying. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now that's what we're going to study tomorrow.
Is that the verse that you had never done a word study on?
17 and 18, I had never done a word study on. But I have.
That's so appropriate that's in italics or in parentheses. Hilarious.
Yeah. All right. I am now billboarding because tomorrow will be very important to all of us, including me. But I pray that there's nothing about me that has any value except my faith. And if you've seen me live by faith, then maybe that can help you when you're living by faith.
Yeah.
But I can only repent for those areas where I haven't lived by faith. And I repent over that often when something comes into my mind and I think it's a great idea and I just say, Father, forgive me again. I've resurrected myself.
That email you sent us with Carrie wrote is appropriate. That was important to me. To that prayer that she talked about praying to die daily, praying to.
Yeah, I was about to name her bishop. Did anybody read that?
Right. I don't know that girl.
She was here with her husband.
You baptized.
You met her. Yeah. You baptized her.
Yeah, in 2000.
Carrie Radcliffe.
Summer of 2003. She came. She
lived. She and her husband and child came here. Lived in the back house too.
She was single at the time in 2003. She came down here from New Jersey to get baptized because she'd been listening to the Bible studies. And Ollie was not doing well that weekend. We were out at Meemaw's, and we went to the Loggins at Whitney and did baptisms at Whitney. And then over the years, 12 years since then, she's been listening to Bible studies.
But she also came with her husband.
Well, that was like five years ago.
So yeah.
It was much later.
Yeah. But you baptized her when I wasn't there. But anyway, please, if you haven't read it, please read it. And did you send it to Rachel?
I did.
Okay. Rachel did what I pulled a trick that I do is I deleted something I wanted to say.
I read it and amen.
All right. Yeah, I got you. Amen. All right. Take it, big guy.